Here's the definition of the variance, which you can see is the expected squared difference of each payoff from its mean. Now, variance is often used as a measure of risk, as you probably know in finance. What do you think of it as a measure of risk? What shortcomings, what good things does it have? It's very popular, right? It's certainly amongst academic types who don't know any better. Do you see any flaws in it as a measure of risk?
Well, it's a measure of the risk, but I guess it's a measure of the risk of the past. What will come after the last measure we have?
Well, let's talk about that a second here. I haven't actually said that here. I distinguish between different kinds of variance. That's what I would call a realized or an historical variance. It's based on some sample that you saw in the past. And you'll see in this course, that's just one kind of variance. The way I like to think about things, or a statistician might think about things, that there's this random variable x, and it's being drawn from some population probability distribution. And that population has a variance to it. As we go forward in the future, we might imagine ourselves just drawing something from that population. Now, unfortunately, all we get to see is that what we draw out. We never really get to see the population. We never really learn the truth, in a sense. We only see these samples. If our objective is to find out what the truth is, what is that population variance, that's another kind of variance than the realized or historical variance. And a problem the statisticians have is how do you use the sample that you see to come up with the best guess you can about what that population variance is. The population variance can be thought of as the forward-looking variance, if you'd like. So the variance doesn't have to relate to what's in the past. That would be a sample variance. Yes?
In answer to your question, it doesn't give you much of a sense of the upside risk versus downside.
That's right. The serious problem about variance, look at how it's constructed here. We square the deviation from the random variable and its mean. It doesn't matter whether the x1 is, say, 5 units above the mean or 5 units below the mean, the contribution of this term will be exactly the same. It doesn't distinguish down from up. It just says different. If you just ask a layman, I find, and he doesn't know any statistics, he will never tell you that variance is the way he thinks about risk. He will always think, well, it's the chance I might lose my money. When you sign up with a broker, they say, what are your objectives? A key one is preservation of capital. The same people often want to make a lot of money at the same time, and the broker has to spend time convincing them that it's hard to do both. I think that's a serious problem with that measure. Some of the models in finance assume that the probability distributions of the returns of portfolios or securities are symmetric. A normal would be an example. Or that they assume that we'll talk about this later, that the logarithms of the returns are normal. That's a little different than assuming that the returns themselves are normal. In either case, there's symmetry involved. It's often just sufficient to characterize the whole probability distribution by its mean and variance. I think you know that. And that's because the kinds of deviations on the upside are symmetric to the ones on the downside. You don't really have to make a distinction. In many other cases, and in cases that are very often related to options, the distributions that people are looking at, the assets that underlie an option or a derivative don't have symmetric returns, and certainly the options themselves do not have symmetric returns. And one of the reasons people prefer certain options over others is because of the asymmetry of the probability distribution of the returns. And that asymmetry is often measured by another variable called skewness, which is not discussed here. So keep that in mind as we go forward. After the variance has some other problems as an empirical measure. And that is, if you have one extreme observation that's way away from the mean, you can see that it gets counted a lot. And if that happens to be an error, or it happens to reflect a time period which is extremely odd, not normal, and you're trying to capture what would happen in normal situations, then your picture of the variance by looking at the past can be inflated too high. An example would be the stock market crash of 1987. If you include that in your data when you measure the volatility of the S&P 500 index, you'll see it's much higher than it would be if you take it out. Now, I'm not saying whether you should put it in or take it out at this point. I'm just saying that the measure is very sensitive to a large move in one data point.